Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. And if you could stand with me to honor God's word. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him and clasped his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
My wife and I have a few visitors in from out of town for the Easter weekend. And with all of our visitors, we always take them to Colonial Williamsburg. Great spot to go for a walk. So yesterday, it was a little rainy and cold, so we gathered the boys up, got their rubber boots on and their raincoats, and we headed down to Colonial Williamsburg. And of course, we parked in a place that's close to the peanut shop, because you got to start by getting some free samples. So, you know, you always give guests some peanuts that are covered in wasabi and tell them it's something sweet, and then you watch their mouth explode. And then you fill your pockets with chocolate-covered almonds and go for your walk. So we parked by the peanut shop and went through the peanut shop and then took our walk and went by the palace green and climbed on the climbing tree that you're not supposed to climb on anymore, and then walked through the boxwood maze where the kids play hide-and-seek. And then we got to the large lawn by the courthouse. And my five-year-old Wyatt said, "Can we play freeze tag?" We always play freeze tag on that lawn. My other two boys, however, had to use the potty. And although my boys are used to just going wherever they want, we knew a lot of visitors around, we should walk to the bathrooms. So we headed down to the bathrooms, and I said to Wyatt, "Sorry, buddy, we gotta go. Your brothers have to use the potty." He said, "Oh, but Dad, we always play freeze tag." And I got down on his level and I said, "Wyatt, I promise you, we will play freeze tag. We'll head down, we'll go over to Duke of Gloucester Street, we'll walk back down, and when we get back here to this spot, we will play." And he looked at me and he said, "Do you promise?" And I said, "I promise." So reluctantly, he walked in his clunky rubber boots down so his brothers could use the bathroom. And we played a little bit in the bamboo forest and threw some rocks in the creek behind the grocer and headed back to Duke or Gloucester Street and walked back down and walked right by the stocks, walked right by the courthouse, walked right by Bruton Parish, got to Merchant Square so we could go to the peanut shop a second time. And Wyatt looked up at me and said, "Dad, we never played freeze tag." And of course I said, "Oh, but buddy, you didn't stop. You know, we were busy. Things changed. We got to get home for dinner." And he looked at me, that moment that no parent wants to hear, and he said, "But you promised." Oh, I hate those words. I do that sometimes. I tell my boys I'm going to do it, and then life gets busy. I can make the excuses. Something else comes up. You get a flat tire. You got to get home. One of the boys throws up. Who knows? You can't always set to the plan. And he looked at me and said, "But you promised." And of course, as a dad, I start thinking, oh, he's never going to trust me again. When I say I promise, I better do it. But he's going to wonder, but you didn't play freeze tag. And then he's going to grow up someday and promise something, but go, ah, promises don't mean anything. Dad didn't keep his. And, you know, yes, the mind of a parent races. But dad, you promised. As we look in the Gospel of Matthew, there were some verses that stuck out to me. Travis and I spent the week studying a few times together as we studied this passage. And so if you listen to his sermon, if he says anything that I say, he stole it from me, all right? But we were both struck by some of the phrases in this passage that we looked at. And one in particular is found there in verses 5, 6, and 7, but primarily in 6, the women are there, the angel of the Lord is there. And the angel says to them, he's not here. He has risen just as he said. He has risen just as he said. Did he promise that he was going to rise? Did he tell the disciples, I promise you, after 3 days, I am going to rise from the grave? He did. And Jesus keeps his promises. Jesus keeps his promises. The promises can be found several places throughout Matthew's gospel. In chapter 16, there's some verses that will go up there, but in chapter 16, verse 21, Matthew writes, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. This was not a secret. The disciples knew. Again, in verse 17, Jesus says in verse 22 and 23, when they came together in Galilee, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life. This promise was not a secret. This promise was known. He told the disciples. In chapter 20, he does it again. He says, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And on the third day, he will be raised to life. Jesus didn't just tell his disciples. In chapter 12, he says to the Pharisees, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus made a promise. Jesus said, after 3 days, death will have no power. I will rise again. I promise. Jesus said he was going to do it, and he does it. Jesus does exactly what he says he's going to do. In Matthew's gospel, as we read about the resurrection, there are several characters that he looks at, several characters that he talks about. Interestingly, the disciples are not any of them. Now, after Jesus' crucifixion, the disciples hightailed it out of town. They were scared. Was their association with Jesus going to get them crucified too? They doubted. Our Savior is dead. But Matthew looks at 4 characters here. 4 characters that are responding to the promise that Jesus made. Because the fact that Jesus was going to rise again after 3 days was not a secret. It was something he talked about. It was something that people knew. And as Matthew recalls these characters in this passage, I think he's talking a little bit about how they're responding to this promise. Take Joseph of Arimathea, for example. In verses 57 and following of chapter 27, Jesus talks about Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man who had, in the ministry of Jesus, become a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus. after Jesus' death, Joseph goes to Pilate and says, "Hey, I need Jesus' body. I want to bury Jesus' body." And Pilate orders that the body is given to Joseph. And Joseph, it says, put Jesus in his own tomb, a tomb that he had carved out himself, a clean, fresh tomb. He wraps Jesus in fresh burial clothes, puts him in the tomb, and rolls a stone in front. But then, interestingly, it says that Joseph went away. I wonder if Joseph had known, or if he had believed that Jesus' promise was true. Would he have just camped out outside that tomb? Would he have waited there with a coffee and a bagel, waiting for Jesus to come out? I think Joseph's response to Jesus' promise of his resurrection was one of respect, but I think Joseph was making some other plans. He respected the lordship of Jesus. He said, "I am a disciple of this man," but when Jesus died, he put him in a tomb. He rolled the stone in front, and he went on his way to make other plans. My wife does this to me sometimes. She'll call me at work and say, "Hey, can you pick up some milk on the way home?" And on the way home, I set my alarm to go, get milk, because I'm going to forget. And I'm driving by the Farm Fresh, and I pull in, I get milk, and I come home. And always, I get there, and I open the door, and there's 2 gallons of milk there. I'm like, "Susie, you already got milk." She's like, "Well, I wasn't sure if you were really going to get milk." Am I that bad, Susie? Do I forget that often? Well, Susie respects me. She loves me. But even though I promised I was going to bring home milk, she made plans anyway. There's another character at the Gospel of Matthew that the writer Matthew talks about. These characters are the Pharisees and the chief priests. Now, the Pharisees and chief priests, they know that Jesus has promised after 3 days, "I will come back." In fact, they go to Pilate and they say, "Hey, this Jesus, this deceiver that walked around, he told everybody after 3 days, he's going to rise out of the tomb. So we got to do something. We got to really seal that tomb, because if the disciples steal his body, they're going to say he was raised from the dead, and your problems are going to be worse." Oh, the Pharisees and chief priests, they were scared, because if Jesus came out of that tomb, their life was getting shaken up. If Jesus came out of that tomb, if Jesus did what he said he was going to do, if Jesus really was who he said he was, their world was going to be turned upside down. So they sealed that tomb shut. It says that Pilate gave them guards and said, "Go seal that tomb the best you know how." Gorilla glue, duct tape, cement. They sealed that tomb up. They put guards in front of that tomb because they were scared. If Jesus really is who he says he is, if he really follows through on this promise, we got to change our lives. I do that sometimes. I get scared to invite Jesus into a decision in our family. I get scared to invite Jesus into a situation because I know probably it's going to turn me upside down a little bit. I'm scared. Another character are the guards. We don't know much about these guards. We just know that Pilate said, "Here, take the guards, go guard the tomb." The guards were just doing what they were told to do. I think they were a little indifferent about it all. "Do I get paid to stand here? I get paid? Okay, I'll stand here." And boy, when that tomb rolls open and that angel shows up, they are so scared they become like corpses. I think when we're indifferent to Jesus and his promises and his lordship and his kingdom, we end up dead. Yeah, Joseph was respectful. The Pharisees were scared. The guards were indifferent. And then there's Mary and Mary. The Marys are there throughout this. In chapter 27, verse 61, they watch Joseph put Jesus' body in the tomb. They watch the stone get put over the grave. You know, it's interesting. The other gospel writers say that Mary and Mary come back bringing spices to anoint the body. But Matthew suggests that Mary and Mary saw that tomb get sealed. Now, those two women weren't going to roll back the stone and go in and anoint Jesus' body, but they showed up. In the verses that Holly read, it says that they were there at dawn to look at the tomb. They stared at that stone over that tomb. Were they nervous? Were they excited? Were they curious? He said he was going to come out in 3 days. Were they expectant? Were they excited to see that stone get rolled open? They get there, the angel of the Lord is there, and he says, "The Lord has risen just as he said," and they're terrified, and they're filled with joy. And they get sent out by this angel to tell the disciples, and along the way, Jesus shows up and he says, "Greetings. Hello. I'm not surprised. I said I was going to do it. How you ladies doing?" And in fear and joy, they fall at his feet and they worship him. Joseph was respectful. The Pharisees, they were scared. The guards were indifferent. The Marys, they were curious and excited and expectant. One of my coworkers named Josh Parker, I love talking to Josh. In the last few weeks, we keep bumping into each other and we keep telling these stories of how Jesus has showed up in these situations and transformed it. Relationships that are healed, situations that seem dark and horrible are somehow filled with glimmers of light. And we say things like, "Can you believe Jesus did that?" We say things like, "Can you believe that Jesus transformed that?" And we end up saying things like, "Jesus surprised me again." And then I go, "Oh my gosh, I'm a pastor. I'm not supposed to be surprised by Jesus. I'm not supposed to be shocked when he takes a situation that seems bleak and brings light to it. I'm not supposed to be shocked when somebody's going through a horrible circumstance and yet they're filled with a supernatural peace. I'm not supposed to be shocked when broken lives are made whole again." But Jesus keeps showing up. He keeps coming through with the promises that he declares. He keeps proving that he is who he says he is. And when he promises something, he does it. And I get surprised. My wife and I have very dear friends up in the Northeast. Friends that got married around the same time we did. Friends that started having babies at the same time we did. One day, Susie got a call from the wife of that couple. She said, "We're going through some hard times." She described a scenario in her home that seemed bleak and dark and impossible. I think in that moment, I took the place of Joseph in our story. I was respectful of who Jesus was, but I kept thinking, this is too much. Started thinking about plans of how we could support her. She needed to leave her husband and these things. And I was respectful of who Jesus was and what he could do, but I kind of thought the tomb's been sealed up. The wife that Susie was talking to, well, she was scared. If she really let Jesus into this situation, it was going to be hard. It was going to be a long journey. It was going to be difficult to repair this. Her husband seemed indifferent. Husband seemed like he didn't care. My wife, she was looking like Mary. Maybe Jesus can do something. He's promised that he can resurrect what is dead. He's promised that he can bring to life what's dead. He's promised that he can bring light to the darkness. He's promised that he can show up. And even though this could be a difficult journey, he will walk with them through it. I was so excited years later when Susie got on a plane and flew to Boston and went to a ceremony on the Atlantic Ocean where the two friends of ours rejoined their lives together. And they committed themselves to Jesus and to each other, and their relationship was whole. And their boys were running around joyous and smiling. And I realized that the tomb was empty and that Jesus was alive. And once again, even though I'm a pastor, he surprised me. Because his power is real and true. This morning, we're going to have Mark come up and sing a song. A song that's titled, "Let Me Rediscover You." Let me rediscover you. On this Easter morning, it is my hope and my prayer that we discover Jesus, that we realize the promises he has made, he will keep, that we realize that what he says is true, that we realize that the Jesus that we love and serve can do the impossible, that even though sometimes we can be like Joseph, we can respect Jesus as our King and our Savior. Well, we make plans just in case he doesn't show up. And sometimes we can be like the Pharisees, and we're scared because if we let Jesus in, then that's going to scramble our world. Sometimes we just become indifferent. But as we rediscover our risen Savior this morning, let us be expectant. Let us be curious. Let us be hopeful that the Jesus we serve always does what he promises. He always proves that he is who he says that he is. And he always shows up. Nothing can seal him in the tomb. He comes forth in life. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said." This Easter season, think about what's going on in your life. A broken relationship, a scary and dark situation, a life where maybe you've sealed the tomb on Jesus. And sit with expectation and give these situations back to him, because you know what? He lives. The tomb is empty. Christ is risen. In this Easter season, let us rediscover him in our lives. Alex is going to come and lead us in one last closing hymn. And then, go in peace, go in joy, go in fear, but worship the Savior that you encounter, because he does what he says he's going to do. He always lives up to his promises, and he is alive and available to each of us.